Good morning to all of you. It's good to see you. Good to see growing numbers. It's fun to see so many faces, so many people, and I hope the service finds you well and that you find something that will help you through this week. The psalm for today is the psalm you would expect, Psalm 118. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. To this God we gather for worship here in this place today, but also in the assurance that God's people in so many different places, in so many different ways, will be celebrating, will be rejoicing in the love God has for us, living in hope, even where there are places in the world where that light mentioned in the psalm, many are trying to put out. It will not be put out. We sing as congregation, Rejoice and Sing, that's the fat hymn book. I don't know how else to explain it very quickly. And it's hymn 657. Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. As we have been doing for too long, I will now light the peace candle. The peace candle that we began lighting the week of the first week of the conflict, of the war in Ukraine. And during the weeks, we have widened our thoughts for all those areas in the world where there is violence, there is death, there is destruction, there is fear. Lord, feeble as the light of one candle may be, you have promised us that the light of truth, of peace, of justice will never be put out. May the candle we light in this church this Sunday morning be part of the large collection of candles lit in the world to proclaim that your light, the true light, will last forever. Amen. Our prayer of thanksgiving for today is taken from the URC prayer handbook for this Sunday. Inspired on the words that you will be hearing in a few moments from Philippians, and will be followed by words of confession, and then we join together in the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. We thank you that we can gather for worship to praise your name, that we can do so without fear, without worry, without danger. We thank you that your word speaks to us and invites us to be part of those who share the good news. And we thank you. We thank you for Jesus, the living, the true, the incarnate Word of God. Into our hurting world, our human nature, our mortal flesh, you lived. Thank you for emptying yourself, for pouring your goodness into the currents of our living. Thank you for not claiming your privilege, Jesus, nor overwhelming us with power, but bearing our pain in your body, calling us with love. Jesus, thank you for your victory through your servant life, out of your savage death, by your suffering love, you are crowned with honor and glory. We bow our heads and hearts to declare with the voices of creation, with the joy of heaven, and with the worship of the church across the ages, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the praise of God. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us a new kind of leadership, for walking among us in commitment and compassion, for offering yourselves as a costly heavenly gift. Yes, Jesus, we thank you. And in thanking you, we become aware not only of all you have done, but of what we have not done, or what we have done incomplete or not at all. When we are overwhelmed as we remember our broken promises, when we cannot rest because We are aware that we have failed your hopes for us. When our words have hurt you, other people, and ourselves, when we know that our selfishness has spoilt our relationships, speak to us of your unbreakable offer of forgiveness. Dear God, we recognize that we try to live our lives our own way and in our own strength. When we feel rejected by those around us and unworthy of you, when we have walked far from you and it's difficult to find the way back, speak to us of your unbreakable offer of forgiveness. Teach us to trust no longer in our own strength, in our own thoughts, but in the mighty love and certain forgiveness you have for your children. And we are your children. And as your children, we can say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Steve will now lead us in both the readings for this morning.
I should say that the reader this morning should have been Janet Leadbeater, but Janet and David are worshipping elsewhere at the baptismal service of their triplet granddaughters. So I think they get a pass today. Our first reading comes from the letter to the Philippians, and those of you who wish to follow it can find it on page 194 of the Bibles in the pews. Philippians chapter 2, reading from verse 5. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And then turning to the Gospel of Luke, we turn to page 79 of the Bibles in the pews, Luke chapter 19, and it's that wonderful story of the entry into Jerusalem leading up to Easter. From verse 29, after he'd said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he'd come to a place near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples ahead, saying, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' And then they brought it to Jesus. And after throwing cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees, who were in the crowd, said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Steve. The choir will now lead us in the anthem for this morning, "I Give You a New Commandment." As you've just heard in the anthem, Jesus changes things quite dramatically. Were the fulfilling the word of the law had been central, suddenly Jesus says it was love that would show to the world that we are his disciples. And that is still the challenge for God's people everywhere. O Lord, we've heard the reading of your word. We've heard it sung in the anthem. Inspire us, challenge us, allow us to discover what you really are saying in a way that we will grasp it, live it, share it, grow by it, to truly be your disciples. Amen. After hearing the two readings this morning, particularly the gospel reading, what's missing? I'll give you a few seconds to think about it. What is missing? Yes, Kerry. And she didn't know I was going to ask this. You've got the cross there. But did you hear about any palms in the reading today? Did you? Had you realized it wasn't there? Did you pay any attention to it and say, wow, I'm in the wrong church. It's the wrong Sunday. What am I doing here? I hesitate to call this Palm Sunday. And if anything, I prefer calling it the entry to Jerusalem. But keep the palm cross you have, because it can be a help to what you didn't find in the reading today. But you presume probably that it's there. Why else would it be called Palm Sunday? In a few moments we'll see that there are other things that you may think are there but aren't. Luke is a rather different gospel, a different story, though it tells the same story. Did you realize there is no donkey? It's a colt, but not a donkey. Though the hymn we're going to sing after I finished does talk of the donkey, ride on, ride on. And it does talk about the donkey. There isn't one that says ride on the colt. So I had to go for the next best thing. The Gospels do mention the colt and mention the donkey, some of them. There are no hosannas in this reading today. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Yes, the blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord is there, but no hosannas. And the crowd in Luke is described as the multitude of disciples. So that would reduce it slightly to what we're used to hearing. And I went back and I compared the three gospel readings. And if you bring them all together, you will find a multitude. You will find a donkey. You will find hosannas. You will find the palms. You do have here that the disciples cast their jackets, their coats, not raincoats, but they're on the road, and that he does enter on the colt. And surprisingly, Jesus, in this story, is doing something that nobody's ever done before. It says that nobody had ever sat on that colt. He's doing this for the first time. Do you know what? The story of Jesus, his ministry, is that he does so many things for the first time. And the problem is, there are groups of people who say, this is not the way to do things. Why don't you do things as we expect you to do them? And I believe that in the world today, many people will say, oh, Jesus, please do things the normal way. Do things the way we expect you to do things. Big question is, who defines what normal is? Jesus is opening us up to understand that there is something different, something unexpected. It's strange how we get used to what we think is there and don't realize it's missing. Sometimes the missing doesn't affect the story too much. What is missing in Mark and in Matthew in this reading is the final question of the Pharisees, or the order of the Pharisees. Tell them to shut up. Noisy bunch of ignorant idiots. They don't say that, but that's what their tone of voice says. And Jesus says simply, well, if they're going to be quiet, be careful, because the stones are going to shout aloud. That's not there in the other Gospels. So my question is, when what is missing is missing, is it important that it's missing? Is it saying something? Or is it inviting us to look at things in a different way and say, it's not there, it's not there? Does my faith depend on the palm branches? Does my faith depend on a donkey? If he enters on a colt, does that make much difference? If it's the disciples and not the multitude, does it make much difference? Because the second question would be, then, what is the relevance of this reading for us today? Well, the entry to Jerusalem is important, particularly in Luke, very especially in Luke, because from about the first third of the Gospel, Luke has told us that Jesus has set his face resolutely to Jerusalem. Chapter 9, verse 51. And here we are in chapter 19. So from 9:51, for the last 10 chapters, Jesus is doing everything he does because he is heading to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is important. It is the capital. It is the seat of power, both religious and political. It's the place where the temple is, where the temple was. Because by the time Luke writes this, the temple ain't no more. It's gone. In the year 70, the Roman Empire came and destroyed it. What's left of the Temple of Jerusalem today? The Wailing Wall. That's the only place that is left of the pride and joy of the people of God in its time. It is the place where Jesus has said he is going to die. Not that everybody understood what he meant, but it is. It is the place that Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophet and stones those who are sent to it. Wow, exciting journey he's on. He knows he is going to die. It's not a place of triumph, at least not originally. It's the place of death. It's the place where those who feel that they're losing out now because of what Jesus is doing will feel that they are victorious. We got rid of him. We've shut him up in a cave, dead. Let him stay there. Just in case, let's put two guards. But he's going to be there until Sunday. The women will discover that again, Jesus has done something for the first time. Jerusalem is the place of emptying, and that's where the reading from Philippians comes in. If you read Philippians with a certain bit of detail, he that was as God descended, and God exalted him. It's a very busy highway. It's a movement from up to down to up again. Jesus emptied, taking the form of a slave. He humbles himself and becomes obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Even death on the cross. There was no more damning or humiliating death than that. The reading continues with the exaltation But we've got to wait for that. Jesus enters in a completely different way from the powers that met to celebrate Passover. Those who come with the drums of the Roman Empire and entering through triumphant gate, we are here to celebrate. And just in case you get any mad ideas, we are the Roman Empire. Be careful. Be careful. It didn't take long, 300 years, but in human history, for the Roman Empire again to be no more. To be no more. That way they were reminding the people who was in control. Jesus comes in to fulfill the words of the prophets of long ago. He enters in humility, not in triumph. He enters to show what God is doing, not what the emperor is mandating. He teaches us to look at life in a different way. And that, to me, is probably the crucial issue of this Sunday, of Jesus' entry to Jerusalem. He's saying, please, look at things differently. Look at things from below. Look at things as an act of service. It's a challenge. The kingdom that Jesus is talking about is not the kingdom of Rome, is not the kingdom of fear, is not the kingdom of the power capable of obliteration. Jesus is talking about something else. It is the power that celebrates the fullness of life. Where in the world today do you find the power that serves? When you look around, read your newspapers or not, see the news or not, because you've had enough of it, where do you discover the power of service? There may be a few examples, but if they are very few, and I believe there are, what does that say about us? What does it say about the world in which we're living? What does it challenge us to do? What are the values we choose for those who will lead us? Where is service in the world today? Let me take you back to 6 Sundays ago, the first Sunday in Lent. And I'm sure you all remember the readings of the first Sunday in Lent, and the second, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth. Probably not. I had to look what I'd written about. I knew I'd written about it, but I had to make sure. It was the reading of the temptations of Jesus. That's how he began his public life, in Luke 4. The second temptation was, I will give you glory and authority over the kingdoms of this world with one condition, that you honor me. Jesus simply points out in that reading that only God is to be honored in that way. Only God is to be worshipped. Definitely not the tempter. So Jesus enters into Jerusalem not with great pomp and circumstance, but with a new dramatic vision. Those of you who get weekly news through the email that Kerry sends will have the third page that you didn't get today, because in black and white it makes no sense. It's this illustration of the entry to Jerusalem, set in a high-rise block of flats. And since I posted this, because I shared it on Facebook, it was picked up by somebody I know from the Presbyterian Church in the USA, and he was corrected because it's a Lutheran Swedish-Mexican artist. He's not Lutheran by the sound of it. He's a Roman Catholic, but Swedish-Mexican artist. Now, Swedish-Mexican is one of the weirdest combinations you could probably get. But if you look at it, the color, the clouds, the explosion, the joy. In the corner, the armed forces. In another, the people dropping their cloaks. A new dramatic vision. Not the power of the devil, but the power of God. Not the power of subjection, but the power of salvation, for justice, for solidarity, for service. The power to transform the oppressive realities for so many into opportunities of life. The power of war that will be replaced by the power of peace. When Steve made the announcements this morning, he said, next Sunday, if you have and can bring one flower, two, a little posy, we will be, in an orderly and self-distant fashion, decorate the cross of death into the blooming cross of nature exploding in color and perfume. Now that is more than simply bringing a flower to decorate the cross. If we do it, it is the choice that we are setting out for life, of transforming that which was death to so many into our call of life for even more. Coming into Jerusalem as he does, and doing what he will do in the next few weeks, we are challenged to learn what that vision of life is all about. On Thursday, in our hall, we will be having the Agape meal and celebrating communion. In some churches, they will also be washing feet. And you will hear a Peter saying, not me, I can't have that done. If you can't wash your feet, there is no room for you. And Peter does it again. Oh, then wash me all. No, it's only your feet I need to wash, says Jesus. All during Lent, the readings have been inviting us to a different way of seeing the world as important. The readings have invited us to trust God, to learn in Jesus. Pilate may think he has the support of the Roman Empire, and by that he is legitimate. And that reading has gone through history for the last 20 centuries. It is not the empire that makes us legitimate. We know that that is a lie. Jesus shows us the truth in God. And that's why I go back to the first question, does it make any difference that things are missing? Sometimes they are there, not there. Sometimes the absence of things is a reminder that, what's going on? What does it say to me? What is central and what remains? And the essential part of this story is Jesus entering Jerusalem. We discover this year after year after year, and yet we are still reminded that what it represented has not become the way, the truth, or the life. It should be a sign of God's values, and we should live by them and share them and proclaim them. Because you know what? If we don't, the stones will do it. And God help us if the stones are the ones called to say what we should say, to do what we should do, to love as we should love. The challenge today for us, for the church, here and everywhere, is to discern what Jesus stands for so that it becomes the norm. And then we can go round and say, yes, this is normal. This is the way it should be. And yet, it's not normal yet, is it? We pray for it. We hope for it. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. As I mentioned last Sunday, we are at crossroads. But we have before us the new opportunity. So we must respond to the essentials that are there and share life and learn that if there is something missing, it's okay. there is something that is always present. And that's the love of God in Jesus Christ. If that's missing, the stones will shout. May that never miss in the life we live. And each and every one of us has the opportunity of being part of that acclamation. It was the disciples that gave what they had, their jackets, their garment, their voice. God asks no more from us even today. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hymn 209 from Rejoice and Sing. Ride on in majesty. Hark, all the tribes, Hosanna cry. Thine humble beast pursues his road with palms and scattered garments stowed. Seated. I don't promise, but I may surprise you next Sunday by turning over the page and singing the Fred Can, "We Have a King Who Rides a Donkey, Who Rides a Donkey, Who Rides a Donkey." And then you'll be able to say you've been using another gospel. We now share what we have been able to set apart for the time of the offering. We are grateful for what we receive, for what we have, for what we can share. We are grateful that we believe that you can multiply the offering, what is in the plate and what we give in different ways, to serve the many needs of this world. We pray, O Lord, that you bless those who decide how it is used, and bless those who receive from it, that we may rejoice and proclaim your greatness in word, thought, and action. Amen. Amen. And we share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Our prayer of intercession when we think of others in this world today. Let us pray. Lord, we pray for those like the man who owned the colt and was willing for Jesus to use it for the first time. And those who give of their time and what they have and what they are to serve in hospitals, in prisons, in industry, in places of education, and for those who have the capacity of reaching out to others. We pray for those like the man who owned the donkey, who give of their time and care for their neighbors, for those whose names we don't know, who show compassion to the lonely, to the broken, or to the bereaved. We pray for those who cast their gowns before Jesus' entry, placing what they had into the hands of Jesus. For those whose commitments are a reflection of God's love for the poor, and for those whose service at food banks enables many, many people to have the basic that they need so that all can eat. We pray for those, O Lord, who dedicate what they have and work tirelessly for the support of the silent sufferers of our society. For those who raise our awareness of the importance of scientific research. For those that bring hope. For those suffering for life-changing illnesses. To the Lord who gave everything, we offer what we have and what we are. We pray, O Lord, for those who give of their intelligence, of their talents, to help those who suffer, who are exploited in work, where children and young people are often deprived of education, have to go down into mines. Or long hours of hard labor. O Lord, those who call us to see what so many would prefer to ignore. We pray, O Lord, for those who use their skills on behalf of people they don't know, even risking their lives, whether it be the widespread of epidemics, earthquakes, tsunamis, droughts. To the Lord who gave everything, we offer what we have. To those who reach out, for those that are sleeping rough in streets of our towns and cities, for those who show what the love of Christ really is, to those trapped in a world of drugs and prostitution, who are despised, rejected, for those that are persecuted for the color of their skin, their sexuality, their gender, their education. We pray, O Lord, for the excuses we build up, invent for ourselves, behind which we hide. And we pray for understanding. We pray for our loved ones, family and friends, those who are in need that we know of, and present to you their names at this time in the silence that follows. We pray for all those in leadership, a leadership based on serving. In every sphere of life, in every country of the world, we pray, O Lord, for the church, for our church, for Highworth United Reformed Church, for the partnership, for the activities of this week, that through your grace, we may build up the moral authority to speak your word and to live in your truth. To the Lord who gave everything, we offer what we have and what we are, bringing our prayers in the name of Jesus, the Lord of life. To him be all glory forever and ever. Amen. And our final hymn, hymn 615, God of mercy, God of might, in love and pity infinite, teach us as ever in thy sight to live our life to thee. Jesus did enter Jerusalem. He had a mission, but that mission continued beyond the walls of Jerusalem. We gathered here today for worship, but we must leave to share that love, that closeness, and the peace that we receive from God through Jesus Christ in the power of the Spirit. So go beyond the walls of safety and security to live in love, to know peace, to share peace, to be transformed by that peace of God. May the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen.